at our missioner for 3 years, so that's about the length of time I've known George, so bumping into him at various missioners' events around the country. And when I asked Rachel Jordan, who's the national missioner for the Church of England, if she could suggest someone who could address this subject, George was the first person whose name she suggested, so I was very pleased, as she knows a lot about these things, to invite George. I was delighted that George could come. George has come with his wife, Joan. It's lovely to see her too. She's very welcome. And even more convenient, they have a daughter who lives in Cookfield. So they were able to see her last night. So I'm glad we provided that opportunity for family reunions as well as coming to speak to us. So, George, do join me up here. Let me pray for you, and then I'll hand over to you. Watching your head on the narrow archways. Apparently this church was the practice run for Guildford Cathedral, so someone told me earlier this morning. George, thank you for coming.
Pleasure indeed.
It's very nice to see you. Let me pray for you. You can say a few more things about yourself if you'd like to. Father, we thank you for George and for his ministry of encouragement and strengthening churches, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless him and speak through him to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks. Thank you, Richard.
It is now. Thank you. Try not to switch it off as I put it into the right place, which is probably what happened before. Right, so I'll start again. I'm Director of Mission for Lichfield Diocese, and I've been doing that for about 5 years. This subject of discipleship, what qualifies me to do this? I'm not really sure in one sense. I've been discipled myself. I think that's the starting point for all of us, isn't it? And I think it's important to think through what our journey was on discipleship. I was in a church in South Yorkshire as a curate, and there we saw a huge number of people coming to Christ. And it was a very, very special time, a very interesting move of God. One year, for example, we had 43 adult confirmation candidates, and I ran, I think, 8 basics courses. It was pre-alpha. So the whole issue of discipleship was absolutely key. I think we had Billy Graham around that time, Mission Sheffield, and the vicar said that we would buy 50 Bibles to give out to the new converts as a step of faith. The PCC gulped and agreed. We gave out 49. The interesting thing is 2/3 of those actually stuck and became full members of the church. Now, that's a very high ratio, and the vicar had got some very good things in place. So I learnt a lot in my curacy, and I took that to the parish in Blackpool where I served for 15 years, and again, we saw a lot of people on the edges of the church come into faith, but we also saw a lot of people not. Because it's one of the most difficult issues, isn't it? This whole question of discipleship. I'm delighted to address it because in Lichfield, it's probably one of the questions I get asked most. I don't know if that's the case with you, Richard. We can get people to come to different things. We've got a great kind of base of contacts, but we can't get them to take any real steps towards Christ. Or if they do, they easily flitter away and don't make it into full faith. So that's the sort of background that we're going to be dealing with. So let's just do one thing first. If you could just play that for me, John. This is just
welcome
to check the technology works.
And thank you for worshiping with us today. For the consideration of those around you, kindly turn off all cell phone, electronic, and messaging devices at this time. If your device should go off during announcements today, in addition to your regular weekly offering, you will be fined $25. Should your device go off during prayer concerns, the fine will increase to $50. If your device goes off during our sermon today, you're going to hell. Remember, God wants your complete attention. Thank you, and enjoy the service. Westminster Presbyterian Church in Burbank. Sunday services at 9 and 10:30. No shoes, no shirt, no service.
I love the last bit. No shoes, no shirt, no service. We don't have to do that in this country, do we? That was partly to test the technology, but partly because I just enjoy that clip. And partly also to say that very often people say, do I need to take notes? What about things like that? I'm very willing to make this PowerPoint available through Richard to anybody who wants it. So I'll send it to Richard. The video clips won't transfer, but I'll send a separate sheet with all the video clips in. So you're very, very welcome to have those and use those for whatever you wish. So if that saves you taking lots of notes, then that's fine. But if you like taking notes, please continue to do so. Now, if the technology will move on. Yes, exactly. Right, the first session this morning, we're going to look at those first two issues. If we're going to talk about people becoming disciples, what exactly do we mean by discipleship? And I'm not sure always that we're very clear on that. And then what problems do we face? And then after the coffee break, when we've all managed to get back from the loo, we'll look at resources and strategies. So that is our basic aim. So, what is discipleship? Let's see another video clip. If you could please, John. Tune is in your heart. You weren't expecting the Alleluia chorus at the end, were you? Yeah, that always gets. I love that clip. But when we talk about discipleship, actually, we're wanting Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be the centre of our lives and the lives of those that we're thinking of today that are on the fringe of our churches. And how do we get there? And what does actually that mean for our churches anyway? See, are you familiar with the ABC of church life? Attendance? Guess what B is? Yeah, buildings. And C, therefore, has to be cash. And if you think of most PCC meetings that we sit through, there's the agenda. That takes up the vast, vast, vast majority of our time in PCCs and our church's agendas. But we don't often get those two. And if we're to take this subject seriously, I think we've got to relegate A, B, C a little bit and make D and E for today's subject D very much part of our agenda. We say that we want people to come from the fringe to the centre, but do we actually put in the time, the energy, the resources that is needed to make that happen? As Richard's already said, it's something that is affecting many of us. The challenge of Fresh Expressions there, I've said, and the challenge from Fresh Expressions. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Lots of Fresh Expressions, Messy Church probably being the most popular round, but not the only one. And of course, the essence with Fresh Expressions is that we put things on that will attract people. But the question is, by coming to those Fresh Expressions, whether it be a skateboard church or Messy Church, or have you come across Trashy Church? Ah, Trashy Church is interesting. That's a stage on from Messy Church, it's designed to attract a slightly older group, and they're into recycling. So the activity is to take different items and recycle them, and you can get some great kind of talks out of that as well. Trashy Church. So there's no end, is there, of the number of things that we can actually do that will attract in. But of course, people say, "Hang on a minute, are you just giving people what they want? Are they genuinely through that ever going to become disciples of Christ?" Messy Church, most of them are monthly. Too labour intensive, most to do too often. So 45 minutes is craft activities, 15 minutes worship once a month. Are people genuinely going to become disciples of Christ on that diet? And Lucy Moore, who originated Messy Church, of course, says, "Very good point. Fully, fully agree. Excellent question. How are you doing? Can we learn anything from established church? How are you doing with discipleship?" And of course, it's a very, very important question that comes from Fresh Expressions. Because she would say, pandering to people's whims? What happens when you change your worship style? Yeah. What does that say about discipleship when people leave the churches because they don't like the changes that have been made? So it's a huge issue, not just for Fresh Expressions. I think it's a huge issue for the whole of the church. And personally, I think if, in terms of my kind of role as director of mission, if we could crack discipleship, actually everything else would follow on from there. Lots of the problems that we face in the church, left, right and centre, if we genuinely had disciples of Christ, they would go away. We'd have a different set of problems, but a lot of the ones that hit us now wouldn't be there. And of course, we go straight to the reading that we had this morning, that invitation from Jesus, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in reality, each one of us at some point have heard those words from Jesus, "Come and follow me." And we've said yes. And we've heard it on subsequent occasions. And we've kept saying yes. And there's something about keeping saying yes that is part of the journey. But of course, then the Great Commission is at the end of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Not church members, not even converts, but disciples. So it's a huge, huge challenge. And Paul in Colossians said, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." Christ in you, the hope of glory. But of course, when we then talk about words and what they mean, when Jesus says, "Follow me," if you've got a messy church or a family service with lots of fringe people, and they hear those words, "Follow me," what do they think it means? See, I've got lots of followers on Twitter. Most of them, I haven't a clue who they are. I just keep getting these messages in my inbox that this person is now following me. And I think, who? What does it mean? I love the picture. So I think we need to look really closely at what we mean by discipleship and following Jesus and what we do in our churches. See how you react to this next video clip. I'll tell you in advance, it made me angry. So let me see what you feel. Oops, too far. Thank you. There we are, we're on. In twos and threes where you are. What did you like about that, and was there anything that you didn't like? Just in twos and threes, you've only got 2 minutes. All right. Yeah. If you can bring those discussions to an end, please. Now, anybody want to make any comments? What did you like? The emphasis on going out. Yes. Agreed. Excellent. Anything else?
But it drew too sharp a distinction between an either or.
That's what annoyed me. I love the little lights coming on, didn't you? That was gorgeous, wasn't it? And I quite like the launch, except it was from America. But they produced the DVD clips, so we're kind of tied to that. If someone in this country could produce some good DVD clips, that'd be great. It was a bit simplistic for me. Just a little bit. I love lots of aspects of it. But my church in Blackpool, we did lots of things. We were very, very busy. But I would like to think that the vast majority of them that we did was so that either people could come to faith or grow in faith. So they weren't just a round of activities for their own sake. Perhaps they seemed it sometimes. And it's something that we always have to examine. And I think that's the key message behind that. But it needs both, doesn't it? It needs the going out, but it also needs the structures in which people can come into to actually discover faith and grow in faith. So, what are the key qualities of discipleship? And what militates against discipleship in our current culture? We've got in Lichfield Diocese a link with Malaysia and Bishop Moon Hing. And he says he likes fat Christians. I'm always careful where I look at this point. But he then goes and defines it like this. And he thinks if he's got Christians with those qualities, he can do just about anything. And isn't it interesting? Because very often when we talk about discipleship, we tend to think in terms of what we do. He thinks in a different way, in terms of who people are. And if those qualities are being grown in people's lives, then discipleship happens. He also adds that in Chinese, fat means growth, multiplication, and prosperity. Would you want to add anything to his list? Prayer. Yes. Yes. And I think we automatically will go for that and love. That's another very important quality. But are they actually hidden within those in all reality? That's the question. It's a very interesting challenge, isn't it? Yes?
One I've been thinking about recently is, and every church needs them, self-starting. Self-starters. So those who come to the pastor and say, I know that there's a part of the parish where we've not any influence. I've just moved there. I will start a house group next week. And I'll be accountable to you, but I will start it for you. Mm.
Yeah, that's the available, isn't it, as well? So just keep hold of that, because it's too easy to look at activities and doing rather than being when we look at this subject. John, yes?
I think the whole sense of being transformed or being transformed, human becomings rather than human beings.
Yes.
Whole life might not become.
That's right, becoming transformed into the likeness of Christ, isn't it? I've added this, that discipleship is a response to the love and grace of God. Because too often the word discipleship means, oh, it's hard work, isn't it? We've got to kind of knuckle down now and get on with some discipleship. And ultimately, it's all about response to grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And we've got to keep the right feel to it, otherwise it becomes works, doesn't it? And we suddenly get trapped in us having to become better Christians to earn God's pleasure. And as soon as we get into that trap on discipleship, we're on the wrong side of the whole thing. It's a response to the love and grace of God. And of course, the other thing that often people get trapped into discipleship is, when are these people going to come to the real church? Yeah? In other words, when are they going to come to the service which is the style I like, whichever that or whatever that might be? And it's very difficult, isn't it, to put ourselves out of that mindset. Very, very challenging thoughts. What exactly do we mean by discipleship? Robbie Gamble, who does leading your church into growth and the start course, and he's one of the missioners. Great character. Likes to keep things nice and simple, because he's a Yorkshire lad from Bradford. I'm a Yorkshire lad from Sheffield. And that's his formula. Discipleship is following and learning. Following and learning. And he builds it all around that. Now, I don't often disagree with Robin. Well, do occasionally. But I want to add that. And for me, yes, it's about following and learning, but it's actually in community. Discipleship is never, ever something that is done on our own. When Jesus invited the disciples to follow him, it was into a community of disciples. And I don't know about your discipleship, but I think I've learned more in discipleship from being with others than I have from being on my own. Now, I'm not in any way minimizing our personal relationship with God there. That is absolutely crucial, the following and the learning. But to me, real discipleship is always done in community. I was talking with someone the other day, and he brought this word out. And he was saying that in his experience as a vicar of many years, that is one of the most crucial words. Not only knowing that we're forgiven, but our ability to forgive others, sometimes for things in the past, and to keep forgiving our brothers and sisters in community. And part of the key of the community part is this key word of forgiveness. And he was saying very interestingly that he saw so many paths of discipleship wrecked by the inability to work through that one word. And if you think about Jesus and the disciples and his teaching, it was very, very prominent. And you can probably think of numerous people that are no longer on the path of discipleship because of lack of forgiveness. So it's a real biggie, and it's linked with that community. Ultimately, it's God's call and it's God's work in a person's life. So I think we're going to be very, very clear on that. We aren't going to make disciples, are we? Are we? No. God does that. So we've got to be very clear on that. It's his call, it's his work by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts the person of sin. We're born of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Spirit who whispers into our hearts, Abba, Father. That deep and deepening relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds us of everything that Jesus taught and brings it into the present today. It's the Holy Spirit who grows the gifts and the fruits in our lives. So it's absolutely crucial that we understand that the work of God in an individual's life is the key and the centre of everything that we're looking at. And therefore, it's the responsibility of the individual to respond to the call of God at every stage in their lives. Follow me. Whatever that is at each stage, at each point of growth or non-growth. But it's the responsibility of the church and older Christians to create an environment where discipleship can flourish so that individuals can grow. We can't do it, but we can create an environment in which discipleship can take place or not. But ultimately, it's God's work and it's our partnership with him. So there's no it's not easy, this. It's a very difficult subject and question to disentangle. The other thing I think which is very important about discipleship is where it happens. I suspect that when most of us talk about discipleship and think about discipleship, we are thinking about what people do in the time they are in church. And 24/7 discipleship goes along these lines, that we've got 168 hours in a week. We sleep 48 of those, leaving 120. On average, people may spend 10 hours in church activities, but that means 110 in work, family, and leisure. Now, so often we think in terms of discipleship, in terms of church. The classic example is always given, is of the lady who volunteers to teach in the Sunday school. And the vicar is so delighted, he invites her out to the front of the church with others, and she is prayed for in this vital work that she's going to do. And she is livid, because for the last 25 years, she's been teaching in a school, having responsibility for teaching children. And the church has never acknowledged that and has never prayed for her in that role. But that has been her calling from God, and that has been her place of discipleship and service, never acknowledged by the church. I think we're just beginning to awaken to that and receive some of the challenges. Some churches are almost making part of their liturgy this time tomorrow, TTT. And we'll actually get people to talk about what they're doing this time tomorrow and incorporate that into the intercessions. So it means that what we do on a Sunday is actually relating in people's lives to the whole of the week, not just to the religious bit. And, you know, how can we get more people to do these different jobs in church? And again, that goes back to that DVD clip, doesn't it, on This Is Discipleship. And an LICC, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, do a huge amount of work on this with their Imagine project and other things. So that is just some of the questions, I think, and issues around the key word discipleship. When we're saying we want people to come from the fringe to the core and to become disciples of Christ, what exactly are we meaning? Next stage, before we have a break for coffee, is to say, well, what are the problems and the challenges in terms of that journey? Now, there's a huge array of things here, but I'm going to pick on a couple initially. And the first is Sunday mornings. Most of our church is Sunday mornings, isn't it? And that's the main option for people to become disciples of Christ. But of course, what happens on Sunday mornings these days? Football?
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And particularly if we're thinking about families, the options for them are massive on a Sunday morning. And yet, if we're wanting people to come into worship, to hear the word, to begin to serve, that is our key place in which we allow that to develop. And of course, that's not an option for many people these days. Now, it might be that if someone has been a Christian for many years and they've made Sunday mornings their habit to be at the Lord's table, that then we might hold some of those families in. But even then, that's difficult. But for new people coming in, if that's the only option that we give, we lose out to all those things. So we've got to look seriously, in terms of our society, what paths and stepping stones we can provide for people in their discipleship that isn't totally reliant on Sunday morning. The other thing, of course, is that spirituality has changed enormously. And this has huge implications, I think, for this path of discipleship. This is pinched from Steve Hollinghurst, the Church Army researcher into alternative spiritualities and various other things. With his permission, I hasten to add. In terms of belief in God or higher power, of course, lots of people still believe in God, don't they? And we're very, very pleased about that. But is it belief in God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the force be with you? And that's a more accurate reflection of the red is life force and the blue is a personal God. And you can see that over the years, from 1947 right through to 2000, the belief in a personal God is diminishing. Now, when you place that in terms of generations of Christians, it becomes even clearer. Now, this is another slide where I don't look anywhere, because this is about the builders, those who were born in the 20s and 30s. And you can see that the vast majority have been raised in church. Not as many as perhaps we would think attend at least monthly, but quite a lot of these people are now quite elderly. Christian affiliation strong, raising children to believe in Christ strong, and a fair balance between life force and personal God. If we jump to the next group, if it will, boomers, born in the 40s and 50s. We'll see that there's been a reduction. Still a very strong Christian affiliation and raising children to believe in God. But the personal God has gone down, and so has the being raised in church. Go to Gen X, and it goes down significantly. Those born in the 60s and 70s. And look what's happened to personal God and life force. Massive, massive change. We can only predict Gen Y. Whoops. Sorry, we've gone. There we are, Gen Y. And very, very small number who believe in a personal God. So what implications does that have for the people that we are getting now on the fringe? Many of whom are in the Gen Y category. In other words, a very, very different background they're coming in with, which has implications for what happens in discipleship. This is one of my favourite quotes. You'll all know who said that, of course, don't you? There he is. Now, I know it's David Beckham, but even so, I want Brooklyn to be Christened, but not sure which religion. Slight problem there, isn't there? I think that quote encapsulates a huge amount of the thinking out there and a huge amount of the thinking in the people that we are now seeing on our fringe. Which 40 or 50 years ago, the people on our fringe would actually have had a basic understanding of Christianity and would be more likely than making a decision to follow Christ. Now, they really don't understand very much at all. That's the end result. I like the Buddhist shrines bit, don't you? That's the reality. And when I first came into this job, I had a vicar contact me, and he had a rather strange request. He said in his village, they had a teddy bear weekend once a year. And so his challenge to me was, I'd like to make it a missional event for the church. That was interesting. So I did what we often do in situations like that. I decided to Google it. And this is what I found. The Church of the Sacred Teddy Bear. Worship him, for he is all hugging. You can Google it yourself and you will still find that there. It's got absolutely nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. You'll probably be very pleased to know that. The Church of the Sacred Teddy Bear. And of course, G.K. Chesterton said this, when people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. This is the mindset of the people that we have on our fringes and are struggling to get on a path to discipleship. 40 or 50 years ago, the people that Billy Graham preached to, on the whole, had an understanding of the Christian faith. And when he invited them to come out of their seats, they were making active what was dormant. They were making real for themselves personally what they already knew about. 40, 50 years on, it is a totally different worldview that we are dealing with. And the implications of that are quite enormous. At the same time, there's a huge interest in spirituality. And we see that with the media. Now, whether the media controls or reflects is a separate debate. But certainly, programs about the supernatural and the paranormal are huge. There are all sorts of different programs. Just a few of them listed there. And this again is Steve Hollinghurst. He will say, do you remember Scooby-Doo? Some of you will remember Scooby-Doo, yes. And it always turned out, if you remember, that there wasn't really a ghost at all. On the whole, we didn't believe in those things. But it's moved. And not only has it moved to a basic belief that there are these spiritual realities, but it's no longer the priest who is the expert. We've been replaced. That's the mindset that is portrayed in the media. And the lower down the age groups that you go, the more there is of people dabbling in all these different areas. There's a kind of a funny spike in the 55 to 64 age group. That was the flower power era. Some of you will remember that. Yeah? The effect it has is, of course, this. Some of you may be familiar with the Engel scale of people's journey towards God. So you'll start off right back at minus 12, where there's no knowledge of God whatsoever. And then, for example, minus 7, awareness of Jesus. Minus 4, aware of the basic facts of the gospel. Moving right through to becoming aware, challenged to respond personally, Holy Spirit and baptism, right through to being part of the team of leadership. So that's the journey on the Engel scale. It's fairly crude, isn't it? But I think whereas in the past we would have been very much dealing with people who minus 7 would be the furthest out. Now we're dealing with people who are way back from that and have no framework from which to work in terms of a journey to Christ. So although we might say all the same and the right words, those words, they haven't got anything to hang them on for them to mean anything. So it's a real, real challenge. And add to that, the whole kind of pick and mix culture that we have, we're not allowed, are we, today, to say, this is what we believe. That's intolerant, isn't it? And of course, tolerance is the huge thing. And we might rile about that, but actually the people that we're dealing with, that is their mindset. And so they'll be very much along the lines of, I'll have that bit from that and that bit from that. And they're picking a little bit from their contact with the church. But they're putting that alongside all the other bits of spiritualities that they are picking up elsewhere. When we're in Blackpool, sometimes we get people coming in. And they'd been kind of in the orbit of the church about 18 months. And we suddenly get them saying, so you don't believe in reincarnation here then? And it's taken them 18 months to actually realise that. Because they've got no pegs to hang things on. And that was their presupposition. And I think that is the massive presupposition in a huge element of the younger age group in society today. Massive problem. We've got the issue of consumerism. That people want what they can get. And again, that's a huge mindset within society. I think it's affecting the church massively, but that's a whole different issue. That's in terms of people leaving because of consumerism issues. But when we've got people coming in, if we're not giving them what they want, if they're not getting what they're after, they will float elsewhere. So they'll not be with us long enough to actually really engage with Christ. Whoops. And the word commitment. Well, that's a dirty word, isn't it, eh? I mean, we know that, don't we, in the churches very often. But transfer that and the implications of that word to the younger generations that we're trying to reach, and we have massive, massive challenges and issues around us. So, that's where we're at. Let me put this to you. What's helped you grow in your spiritual life? And if you were to devise a program of discipleship, we did this actually in Blackpool at one point. We were getting quite a lot of new people around. I'd got a curate who was Mr. Alpha. Excellent curate he was. And I remember when he was, he'd been appointed, and we were having a telephone conversation. This was before he joined us. And he said to me on the phone, he was called George as well, which was very interesting. We used to do it, and it's good night from him, and it's good night from me. But anyway, in this telephone conversation, he said something to the effect, I've booked in to do this course. I'm not sure what it's about. It's called Alpha. Do you think I should still go on it? And I remember saying, what's it about? And he said, well, I think it's about, you know, helping people when they first become Christians. I said, well, go on it. You never know. You might find it useful. Yeah? This is when Alpha was virtually unknown. This is one of the early conferences. So we went and did this Alpha course. When he arrived, I said, so was that course any good? Yeah, he said, it was quite interesting. So I said, well, you know, as your curate's project, why don't you run an Alpha course and see how it goes? And you know, because it's good for the curate to do something on their own without the vicar. And so that's what he did. And then he just kept on running them, yeah? And we had four or five a year in the process. And basically anything that moved, he invited it to Alpha. That was his main tack. And in that sense then, we said, okay, well, what after Alpha? And so we decided, because we've got quite a few fellowship groups by this point, that we would devise a discipleship program. And we wanted it to be 2 years, so that if someone had gone through that in 2 years, we could be pretty sure that they got everything they needed to know in the Christian faith. In the end, it was 3 years. We elongated it a little bit, and we, you know, picked a mix from various different courses around, and it was very interesting, and they hated us for it. But that was it. Now, what would you put in a discipleship program if you were thinking, right, we've got all these people, what would they need to do, learn, understand in order to be disciples of Christ? I know what some of you are thinking, and that's absolutely fine. So, 5 minutes before the coffee break, have a quick chat with those around you. Those two questions. What's helped you grow, personally? What's made the difference? Why are you here? Why didn't you float off elsewhere? And what are the key elements in discipleship? There you go, in twos and threes. Right, if you'll be drawing those discussions to an end, please. And I think the best thing to do now is to break for a drink. So thank you, and we start back again at 11:45. So half an hour. Do keep chatting about them if you so wish.